You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
On a journey together, working our way through the entire book of Acts. We've been looking at the disciple life. Luke might have stopped writing in Acts 28, but the story has continued ever since then. God is still writing the story of His church all over the world through people that are living saved, changed, and on mission with Jesus, through people that are living the disciple life. Jesus gave the church, not just the first church, but the church, the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, to see their cities and their regions and their states and their nations reborn. Can't stop, won't stop until Jesus returns. The story is being written right here in Newton, Kansas. It's being written right here in the midst of a group of people that call themselves The Gathering. And God doesn't want us to miss out on a single aspect of the story that He is writing. So let me ask this morning, how many of you guys have ever had someone in your life tell you something along the lines of, you just really need to grow up? Anybody ever been told, like you know, you got a lot of growing up to do? I'm literally the only one that'll fess up to this. Come on. Usually it's mom and dad that say that to us, right? Or maybe you've had a teacher or a coach say that somewhere along the way. So when I was in high school, some friends and I, we brought walkie-talkies to school one day. This was way before cell phones, kids. Okay, when I was in high school, there were no such thing as cell phones. Like, well, there were, but you'd only see them on TV. And the person that had one, like, it was always the size of a brick and it had a car antenna sticking out of it, right? Walkie-talkies were our cell phones when I was in high school. So we brought our walkie-talkies to school, and me and some friends had one walkie-talkie in our English class, while some other friends down the hall had the other walkie-talkie in their class, and we turned the volume up real loud, and then we were stealth mode about it. We were all kind of secretive, but we took turns saying mildly inappropriate things through the walkie-talkie so that the other class would hear the mildly inappropriate things, which I will not repeat right now. I've been saved since then. So the teachers couldn't figure out for a while where this was coming from or who was saying these things. But, I mean, you know, inevitably they did figure it out, right? And so I remember our English teacher, she came over, she grabbed our walkie-talkie, walked down the hallway, found the other one in the other classroom, and then she came back, she put them in her desk. She said, you guys can have these back at the end of the year. And then she began to lecture us in front of the whole class on how immature we were and how much we needed to grow up. Now, let me ask, do you think that lecture actually made me want to grow up? Why not? Because here's the truth, okay? I didn't want to grow up back then, right? Honestly, to me, when I heard the words grow up, to me, that sounded lame, and acting more immature sounded a lot of fun, right? I didn't want to grow up back then, but come on. In light of all that, though, how many of you are grateful now for the growth that has taken place in your life? How many of you are grateful for some of the growing up you've done over the years? Look, I don't know where everybody is at in this room, but I do know there are many people around here that continue to take steps, that continue to grow. And we spent about 58 weeks in the book of Acts. And I've asked this question over and over again. What step do you need to take? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? How do you need to grow? Many of you have continued to respond to God, and it's been beautiful. So I want to encourage you this morning. Please don't ever get sick of that question. Please don't ever get sick of the question, what is the next step you need to take? Because I'm going to keep asking it, right? But listen, here's why. When we get sick of taking steps, or when we don't want to grow anymore, here's what happens. We actually begin to die. Is that right? Some of you are thinking that's a little too strong right now, but listen to me. Listen to me, when we refuse to grow, we begin to die. Because listen, living things grow. Living things, they're alive, they grow, they change, they produce. There's obviously a physical principle right there, but there's a big time spiritual principle right there. And I will remind you that in addition to the physical form that you have, you are also a spiritual being. And so spiritually speaking, if we refuse to grow, if we refuse to keep taking steps, if we stop changing, we will stop producing, we will become stagnant, we will begin to wither, we'll go backwards, and we'll even begin to die. Not growing is death. So around here, we're in the process of growing as or becoming the disciples of Jesus that he has designed us to be, that Jesus wants us to be, that Jesus died for us and even commissioned us to be. So listen though, let me just say this, okay? Don't take that as a negative. Okay, don't take growing as a negative, because we would agree, by definition, a disciple is someone who keeps growing, right? Is that right? But if you're going to keep living saved, changing on mission with Jesus, that means there's going to be continuous growth, continuous becoming, right? Don't take that as a negative. Don't look at this from a perspective that says, oh, I knew it. Jesus is only going to be pleased with me if I keep doing these things, or if I do this thing right here, or if I stop doing these things. You need to hear me very carefully this morning. Jesus is not waiting on you to get perfect before he will take great joy in your life. Okay, but listen to me. Do you want to know what makes Jesus happy? This is what makes Jesus happy. When you live with the understanding that you're not perfect, but you rely on his perfection working inside of you to make you more like him because you want to grow, because you want to be more like him. That makes Jesus happy. Let me say it this way. It's not that Jesus isn't pleased with you until you do all these things for him, okay? But we really should reverse our perspective or reverse this scenario, okay? This is the way the first church would have thought of it. So therefore, this is the way we should think about it too, okay? We should approach it and say, Jesus, you've done all these things for me. You've done all these amazing things. You continue to do all these amazing things. So thank you. And I want to figure out how I can make you happy. What can I do for you? Our focus shifts from, is God pleased with me, to God, how can I please you? Are you following me, church? God, how can I keep growing? How can I keep changing? How can I keep producing? How can I be more like you, Jesus? Because I can't get over you, Jesus. I can't get over what you've done in my life. You have demonstrated and you keep demonstrating just how much you love and like me. You've gone eternally above and beyond for me. So I'm in the position where I want to find so many ways. I can't find enough ways to express my thanks and my gratitude to you. I love you so much. I want to spend the rest of my life, the rest of my days, figuring out ways that I can say, Jesus, I love you. Listen, it's not a I have to grow so that Jesus will love me scenario. It's this right here. Jesus loves me. Jesus saved me. I want to do anything and everything I can to love him back. Amen? Come on, church family. Is that how we feel? Do you feel that way? Do you believe that? So listen, if you say yes, then here's the question. What keeps you from wanting to grow? What keeps you, what keeps us from wanting to take that step? Now listen to me very carefully. I have asked that question right there, or some form of that question, probably hundreds of times in the last year and a half as we've been going through the book of Acts. Okay, so here's what I want to do today. I want to rephrase that question. Here's my new question for today. What gets you to grow? What will get you to grow? And here's a little stronger version of that. What will make you take that next step that Jesus wants you to take? And so maybe you're here this morning, you're like, man, it's going to take a miracle for me to grow. It would take a miracle for me to start growing. Well, maybe you just need some miracle grow then. Lamest church joke of all time. Right there, I win the award. I worked hard on that this week, by the way. I asked first service whether I really should repeat it in second service, and they gave approval. So, all right, there you go. All right, here's the title of today's message, all right? Magic words or initiative. Magic words or initiative. Church family, we're going back to a foundational scripture for us as a church. If you got your Bibles open to Acts 2, we're going to look at verses 42 through 47. It's been a long time since we've looked at these verses because we've continued to work our way through the rest of the book of Acts. But man, this is a chunk of scripture that is foundational for us here at the gathering. If you've been with us before Acts, you've seen this. If you've been through breakfast, you've discussed it. What we're about to read is a description of the first church and how they lived. God really honed me in on this scripture about a year before Rachel and I moved back here from Las Vegas. And church family, listen to me. This is everything we aspire to be as a church. This is what I dream about for the gathering. This is what I dream about for Newton. There is so much Newton Reborn in what we are about to read, okay? And listen, real quick, here's the cool part. We're beginning to see some of these things that we're about to read right here in this church family. It's awesome, okay? So let's look together at what it was that all the believers in the first church were doing together. Check this out, Acts 2, 42 through 47. And I'm going old school with the NIV 1984 because it's my favorite, all right? But check it out. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Don't miss that devoted part. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I want you to notice that, okay? Luke just listed four things that all the believers in the church were devoted to. We'll break those down in a second. And there's about to be a fifth thing that he'll mention that they were devoted to as well. But watch this. It says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. The apostles are the leaders of the church there. Okay, but watch this. This is the fifth thing they were devoted to. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, neighborhood gathering, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And watch this, how sweet is this, church family? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In other words, the church continued and continued to grow. More and more people gave their lives to Jesus each and every day. More and more people got rescued out of sin and death and darkness, and they began living saved, changed, and on mission. They began living lives of impact and lives of significance. Every day that was happening. Come on, this is a miraculous and beautiful thing right here. Amen? This is something beautiful we get to see. This is God's church as it's meant to be. Now, to be fair, they still had their struggles. They did still have their struggles, right? And here's the reason why. Because people. Because people, right? Or you guys don't find that at all mildly amusing that it's our problem right here? Let me say it this way, because of sin, look, we know this, just because we go to church, we're obviously not perfect, and we definitely don't always perfectly relate to one another, right? So listen, how many of you guys have ever been to the perfect church? Have you ever been to a perfect church? Okay, well, I'll just give you a heads up. If you do find one, don't join it, because you'll be the one to mess it up. Come on, we're all sinners in recovery around here, right? So look, though, even though there were struggles, that doesn't mean that the first church ever stopped behaving like this. It doesn't mean they ever stopped looking like what we just read. In spite of the struggles, this is who they were. This is how they lived. And do you know why and how they maintained this? Here is why and here is how they maintained this. Because they were all devoted. They were all devoted. They were strongly and affectionately committed together. They were, watch this, this is what I mean by devoted. They were faithful, constant, loyal, and devout. That was church for them. And did you notice how many people were devoted? How many people did it say were devoted? All of them, all of the believers were in this together. According to what we just read, if you had given your life to Jesus, if you had trusted and committed to and relied upon him with your life, then you were faithful, constant, loyal, and devout with your church family. Come on, let's say those words together right there. Say those with me. Faithful, constant, loyal, and devout. They were devoted together. And as a result, we see something beautiful. Here's what we see. The church as Jesus intended it to be. Now again, here's what's so cool. We're seeing pieces of this happen right here in this church family. If you think it's impossible that we could ever look like this, okay, let me just tell you, open up your eyes and look around at what's happening. I mean, I'll just give you an example. Last weekend, the gathering and First Baptist went down to 6th Street, not just to be two churches, but to be the church together and be a blessing on our block. Come on, it's beautiful, right? Here's what I wonder, though. Do you think we could ever go all the way? we're seeing pieces of this. I wonder, do you think we could ever go all the way? Do you ever think that we could be a spitting image of what we just read? I mean, if the first Christians, the first people that belonged to that church, if they ever somehow could walk through the doors of the Fox Theater or show up at your neighborhood gathering some night and you say to them, or we all say to them, welcome home, we're so glad you're here. Do you think there could ever be a day where they truly feel right at home because we look and act just like their first church did? Come on, do you think that can happen? Church family, I don't know about you, but here's what I think. Yes! It can happen. I'm telling you, if I didn't think there was a chance that it could happen, I would be way less passionate about church than I am right now. If I didn't think there was a chance that it could happen, I would kiss Newton Reborn goodbye. If I didn't think there was a chance that we could all begin to live more and more saved, changed, and on mission, come on, then what are we even doing here? Because I refuse to do social club church. That'll make me sick. No, God showed us right here in His Word that this is what the church can and should look like. So I don't know about you, but I refuse to aim for anything less. And beyond that, listen to me, Jesus shows us in the book of Acts. We read the rest of the story in the book of Acts. He shows us what can happen when the church gets devoted to these things. Not only do people give their lives to Jesus each and every day, but these people flip the whole known world upside down at that time. They led the unknown world at that time to give their lives to Jesus. So you can't tell me that 20,000 people here in our city can't become disciples of Jesus and can't begin to follow Him. It can happen. Amen? All right, so here's a big question for today then. Church family, do you want it to happen? Do you want it to happen? I'm getting that wide-eyed kind of like look, right? Come on, we want it to happen, don't we? All right, so maybe here's a more important question then. How? How can it happen together? How can it happen today? So I want you to listen to me very carefully right now. Here's how it can happen. When all of the believers that call the gathering home grow. When all of the believers that call the gathering home continue to become, listen to me, when all of the believers at the gathering grow in their devotion to the very things that the first church was devoted to, when we do that, it can happen. Come on, let me ask, do you think we can be like the first church but not be devoted to the same things they were devoted to? Do you think it would be possible for us to experience the same things that they experienced without being devoted to the very things they were devoted to? No, the answer is no. And what about this? Did they just stumble upon these things that they were devoted to? Was it some magic thing that they just landed on these things that they were devoted to? Did they take a boat? Was there a big boat one day? Like when the church was 120 people before it just exploded, when they were in that upper room waiting on the Holy Spirit to pour out, did they take a vote? Like, were they like, you know, what should we be devoted to? And so, 35 of us said that we should be devoted to fantasy football. 24 of us really thought we should focus on bake sales. But then there's 65 of us, and they got the majority, and they really think that we should be devoted to God's Word. So I guess we'll give God's Word a try for a little while. No, of course not, right? Come on, here's why. Because Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, the leader of the church, the ultimate disciple maker, He was devoted to these things. And let's break them down. What did it say they were devoted to? It said they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Here's another way to say that. They were faithful, loyal, constant, and devout with God's Word. With God's Word, the apostles were preaching and teaching the Scriptures, but they were also preaching and teaching everything that Jesus had personally taught them. So then, as individuals and as a whole church together, they devoted their lives to God's Word. What else? It said they were devoted to the fellowship. Let me say it this way. They were faithful, constant, loyal, and devout in their relationships with God and with each other. They were devoted to relationships, to serving one another, to being God's family together, to being a loving, friendly, encouraging, grace-filled God family. They did life together. Listen to me, church was not a twice-a-month thing for them back then. Grace this morning, but you know that's the national average of times that people go to church per month. Grace this morning, for many of us, that's our average right now. Church was not a twice-a-month thing for them. When the church was together, they were there. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. It said that, so they shared meals together, which is more fellowship. But here's what that means also, okay? It means they shared the Lord's Supper. They shared communion together often. In other words, they were faithful, constant, loyal, and devout in worship. In worshiping God together, obeying God together, growing as His people together. It also says that they were devoted to prayer. Now, that's an easy one to break down, right? It means they were devoted to prayer. They were faithful, constant, loyal, and devout with their prayer lives. They talked to God a lot. They listened to God a lot. Not just daily, but ongoing throughout the day. They lived a lifestyle of prayer. There's four things. Here's the fifth thing. Generosity. Generosity. It said they were together and everyone had everything in common. It said they would sell possessions and property and give to the church. They gave and they gave generously. They were faithful, constant, loyal, and devout in generosity together. And so check this out. Because of their devotion, let me say this, as a result of their consistent actions that they took, and as a result of the reputation they now had because of the way they were living, here's what happened. God added more and more and more people to the church every day. More and more people got saved all the time. But not only that, man, they went on to flip the world upside down with the life of Jesus. Come on, church family, do you want it? Do you really want it for yourself and for all of us sitting around here? Do we want it for each other? Come on, do we want it? Okay, if you say yes, then it's honesty time this morning. If you say yes and you're here and you're a believer, if you've trusted and committed to and relied upon Jesus with your life, then between you and the Holy Spirit right now, how devoted are you to these things? How devoted to these things are you right now? Are you devoted to them, or is there growth that needs to take place in any of these areas? Is there growth that needs to take place in any or all five of these areas? Listen, grace this morning, and I promise you, I am not here this morning to beat you up. I'm here to call you up. Just a reminder, okay? Context is a good thing, right? Let's remind ourselves of the context for the conversation that we're having right now, okay? This isn't my blueprint. This is Jesus' blueprint for all of our lives right here. You see, some of you might be tempted to think, come on, Pastor, you're bringing these things up again. You push these things all the time. This is what we talk about all the time. You got to do. They're His ideas, not mine. I'm not good enough or smart enough to come up with these ideas. But I will tell you one thing. My life is radically different because I have devoted myself to His ideas. And I'll tell you something else. Listen to me. And what I'm about to say, I do not say this with boasting, and I am not bragging in any way, I promise you. But many of your lives are now radically different because of what God has done through me in your life. Again, I don't say that with pride or any kind of boasting. Here's what I mean. No, God used other people to help me grow, to challenge me to grow, to get me to be devoted to the things of God. So He did it through them. And then now through me, God is radically changing other people's lives. I want you to hear this morning. Hear this right now. God wants to do the same thing in a whole bunch of other people's lives through you. He wants to do the same thing, and it can happen more and more. The more and more you get devoted to these things of God, I'm telling you, I could not be more grateful for the men and women along the way over the years in my life who, in essence, told me, Brandon, you need to grow up. You need to grow up. You need to mature. You need to get yourself devoted. People who have challenged me in my devotion to the things of God. Because come on, church family, you know I have not always been devoted to the things of God. You know this. Even when I first got saved, man, I didn't instantly get devoted to the things of God. But I wish I would have. Come on, when I first got saved, there was a time when I did not read my Bible consistently. There was a time when I did not pray like I pray now, but I had friends who called me up. I had pastors who called me up. They challenged me. I could have gotten offended. I could have come up with all the excuses for why that doesn't have to apply to me. I could have said, nah, I just don't feel like it. But by the grace of God, I said, thank you. I took initiative and I grew. I went to church pretty often after I first got saved, but I didn't think it was important to be devoted to a church family until my pastor called me up, until he sat me down and talked to me and challenged me in my devotion to my church family. He essentially told me, Brandon, you need to mature in this area. I could have gotten offended. I could have come up with all the excuses for why this didn't have to apply to me. I could have said, I just don't feel like being there all the time, or being there on Sundays when my family's together, or being at neighbor gathering. I could have said, no, I don't feel like it. But by the grace of God, I said, thank you. I took initiative and I started to grow. I was not generous when I gave my life to Jesus. There was a season, man, where I was not generous. I did not tithe, which means I wasn't giving. I clearly wasn't giving above and beyond the tithe, but I had a Jesus-loving friend who sat me down and called me out. I even had a pastor sit me down and talk to me about it. I wonder, how offended would you be if I sat down with you and asked you personally why you don't tithe? I could have gotten offended. I could have come up with all the excuses for why this doesn't have to apply to me. I could have said, nah, I don't feel like it. But instead, by the grace of God, I said, thank you. I took initiative and I began to grow. Church family, my only regret is how long it took me to get devoted to these things of God. You see what I'm saying? Now look, again, I want to encourage you this morning. There are so many people here who are taking steps. So many people who are growing in their devotion, discovering what it looks like to be devoted. I'm proud of you. Your church is proud of you. Lives are getting changed through you. Don't stop now. But can I be pastor today? Can I be friend today? And can I challenge you today? Many of us need to grow in our devotion to these things of God. No more delay. No more delay. We need to submit to not Brandon's blueprint, but Jesus' blueprint. I would ask, what keeps you from getting devoted? What keeps you from taking that step? But that's not what I'm going to ask right now. I'm going to ask this. What needs to happen? What will get you to grow? What will get you to be devoted to the things of God? What will get you to take initiative for the first time, or for you to continue to take more initiative so that you can continue to grow in your devotion to God in these areas? What will get you to be devoted? Because church family, here's the truth. I don't have any magic words that I can say that will get people to grow. If I had magic words, I'd have busted them out about 57 weeks ago. Come on, my teacher didn't have magic words when she lectured me in high school, right? And I didn't even get offended by the things she said, but she told me I need to grow up, but here's how I responded. I didn't say this out loud, but in my brain I was just like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm in high school. I should get to be immature. I had all the excuses for why that didn't have to apply to me. But do you want to know what finally made me want to grow? It was a combination of a few things. Listen to me. Jesus had saved me. And even though I didn't know how to get devoted in every way, I will tell you, I was grateful. And I really did. I do today too. But man, I really did. I loved Jesus and I really did want to make him happy. And by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me too. And he would often speak to me through my pastors and my friends and the people that would challenge me. But then as I began to hang around the church more and more and I saw the lives that many of the leaders were living, here's what I saw. I saw the Jesus life inside of them and I began to want it. I was attracted to the way that they were living and I began to listen to the Holy Spirit and I finally said, yes, Lord. And then here's the key. This is big time today. I didn't just say yes, Lord. I also then took initiative. Let me explain what I mean by that. I took responsibility. I owned my own growth and I took a step and I began to grow. Come on, if we say yes, Lord, but there's no action behind it, how many know that's not really yes, Lord? Between you and the Holy Spirit right now, what reason can you give him for not wanting to grow in your devotion to these things of God? And what has to happen to get you to grow in all five of these areas? And listen to me, if you really want to, come on, help me out. If you really want to do something, you will. Right? If you really want to do something, if you really want to grow, you will. The excuses that you can come up with, the way that you feel, all the fears that you could list for why you shouldn't do these things ultimately won't matter if you really want to, and you will take those steps and you'll begin to get yourself devoted to the things of the God who has saved you, the God who loves you. Let me say it. You're just one initiative away from continuing to become the disciple that Jesus has designed you to be. That ought to get you pumped up this morning. One initiative away from continuous growth as the disciple that Jesus has called you to be. I don't have magic words, but I do love you and I will challenge you. But Jesus has supernatural words and we know from his supernatural word that this is what he wants for all of us. The question is, what will it take to get you to take initiative and to grow in these things? What will it take for you to take initiative? Do you know what, you want to know what the answer is? It's you. You are what it takes to get you to take initiative. And come on, somebody, can you imagine what will happen when you do? Come on, not only in your life, but in the lives of so many other people around you. Not only will you continue to experience deeper relationship with Jesus, a more profound understanding of just how much Jesus loves you, more growth, more joy, more freedom, more life, more purpose, more significance, more impact, but then others around you will begin to experience those things as well through you. Here's something that's so beautiful. This should encourage you this morning. Here's what happens when you don't just say you're a believer, but you actually get devoted to the things of God as well, because I don't have magic words and you don't have magic words either. So watch what Jesus tells us to do in Matthew 5:16. He says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Let your devotion, let the things that you're devoted to be visible for the world to see. And watch this, so that how many people? I feel like I'm on WWE right now. I'm too pumped up for that answer. Come on, how many people? Everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Let your devotion do most of the talking, Jesus says. Let your devotion do most of the talking, and then watch this. Other people will hand their lives over to God. They'll begin to give him glory, and there is nothing better in all of life than all of that right there. I don't know what you currently believe is better than that right there, and these aren't magic words. This is just the truth. There ain't nothing better. The first church was devoted to these things and experiencing the best of life with God. And as a result, more and more people were drawn to God and ultimately gave their lives to God and devoted themselves to the things of God as well, which led to more and more people until they flipped the entire world upside down. Church, we had 215 people show up at our block party on 6th Street. I know I keep bragging about that thing, but it's worth bragging about. 215 people showed up, and then between us and First Baptist, we had about 80 people show up to do yard work the next morning. And a little bit more Newton Reborn took place last weekend, right? Let me ask, and come on, dream with me here. You guys want to dream for a minute? Dream with me here. Come on, can you imagine if all the believers that call the gathering home, if we all fully devoted ourselves to the things of God, and as a result, can you imagine if the gathering family grew to 1,000 people? Listen to me, not just for the sake of being able to say, oh, we're a big church, we got a lot of people. No, for the sake of the mission of Jesus requires multiplication. The mission of Jesus means more people get saved, changed, and on mission all the time. Listen to me, can you imagine if we had 1,000 people consistently devoted to the things of God, pursuing Newton Reborn together? It would be unstoppable at that point. We wouldn't have just hit 6th Street this past weekend. We would have gotten 1st through 8th Street at the same time. And come on, it's been a while since we've done some math around here. You guys want to do some fun math? Say yes. You want this math right here. I'm telling you, church family, if we will do this, if we will devote ourselves to being disciples of Jesus that make more disciples, if we'll devote ourselves like the first church, we can see Newton Reborn in no time. Friends, I see a spontaneous multiplication of disciples happening right here in our city. Let's say I roll into Newton and I'm a disciple of Jesus, and I go and I find my friend Pastor Greg here, and he's not a pastor yet. Let's just say he is so far from Jesus, but I say, man, I'm going to help this guy love Jesus. And so I make a disciple out of Pastor Greg, and now there's two of us that love Jesus, and we're going to go make another disciple, each of us. So the two of us go out and we make another. Now there's four. And then the four of us say, let's keep making more disciples. So we each go out and make another one. Now there's eight. And then the eight of us go, and then there's 16. And then there's 32, and then there's 64, and I'm terrible at math, so I'm just going to read them out here right now, but then there's 128, and 256, and 512, and 1,024, and then 2,048, 4,096, then 8,192, then 16,384, and you make one more jump, and you're at 32,768 people, and you've blown right past Newton, and you've gotten the population of Halstead, and Heston, and Gossel, and Walton, and Peabody, and that's been when you begin to see a region reborn. I really should be on WWE or something like that. Church family, don't miss out on a single aspect of the story that God is writing and that He's calling you to be a part of. Take initiative today. Take initiative today. Here's what I mean. Take responsibility and own your own growth today. Do it. I'm serious. I'm serious. How many of these areas do you need to grow in? One of them? Two of them? All five of them? Take initiative today. Say yes, Lord, and take action today. Come on, I'm going to wrap this up here in just a minute. Let's just get really practical for just a minute, okay? So if you're struggling in any of these areas, let's just talk about them real quick. If you're struggling to be faithful, constant, loyal, and devout with God's word, you can grow in that today. It doesn't have to wait. It doesn't have to be this lofty aspiration. Look, here's something so practical. How many of you guys have that Bible app on your phone? If you have not yet downloaded the YouVersion Bible app, go to the app store, type in Bible app. It's the little thing that comes up. It's brown and it says Holy Bible. It just looks like a Bible. That thing is miraculous. I'm serious. That thing is a gift from God to mankind these days. You can get that thing. You open it up. On the front thing, when you open up, there are reading plans. You can just start reading. It'll even remind you, hey, let's read today. You can start reading, getting devoted to God's word today. If you're struggling to be consistent with fellowship, I mean, if you're struggling to be consistent in showing up with us together, if you've never been to breakfast, take that step and go to breakfast, get plugged into a neighborhood gathering. But listen, commit today to be faithful to show up with your church family when your family's together. Don't let the national average define you any longer. Come on, let's be together when the church is together. Determine now that the usual suspect of events of excuses for why you don't need to be in church all the time, they don't apply to you anymore. If you need to grow in your prayer life, you can start today. Talk to God today. I'm going to give you the opportunity before we even walk out of here. Get yourself a notebook, a cheap notebook. Get a Mead notebook. And just write a prayer down every day. Just start a little prayer journal. It doesn't even have to be a paragraph. Just begin to pray. Begin to talk to God. You can start that today. Show up at your neighborhood gathering, and because they pray there all the time. Show up here with us. We pray. And listen to me, all right? One more. If you have struggled with tithing and generosity, if you have struggled with tithing and generosity, or grace this morning, if you've just flat out refused in the past, if you struggled or refused to be constant, loyal, faithful, and devout with tithing and generosity, grace, but take initiative today. Take initiative today. Own your own growth today. Determine now that the usual suspects of reasons for why that doesn't have to apply to you, they don't apply anymore. Listen to me. Jesus wouldn't have given us the blueprint if he knew we couldn't do it. Come on, right? He wouldn't have given us a blueprint for generosity if he knew we couldn't handle it. Come on, Jesus can handle it, can't he? And look, I know some of us were saying to ourselves, man, I'm waiting on that bigger check before I'll finally bring my tithe. Listen, not in every case, but sometimes Jesus is waiting to see if we'll be faithful, if we'll demonstrate faithfulness with what he's already given us before he'll give us more. Some of us think that our money is our own and that we know how to manage it better than God knows how to manage it through his church. Listen to me, grace on that. But you need to know that that thought process right there is not a part of Jesus' blueprint. Some of us are just afraid. What will happen if I take this step? Man, I'll tell you, fear is not a part of Jesus' blueprint for your life. But faithfulness is. Come on, let's be faithful, constant, loyal, devout in all these areas. And especially with generosity here, listen to me, I dare you to start being generous. I triple dog dare you to start tithing. And listen to me very carefully. After you do it consistently for a period of time, and after Jesus blows your mind, and after it's evident to everyone around you, we may not even know exactly what you're doing, but it's going to be evident to everyone around you that he's continuing to pour out more and more of his goodness in and through you. After we can all see that, I promise I won't even come up to you and say, I told you so. Because I'm way too mature and grown up to do that. Come on, you are the only person that can initiate you. The only person that could stop you from continuing to become the disciple that Jesus has called you to be is in this room, and it's you. Come on, take initiative today. Jesus is willing. Your pastor is willing. Your church family is cheering you on. Come on, let's do this thing together. Amen? Here's my last question. What are you going to do? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.